Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
You've heard of the song, "It Had to Be You," haven't you? It's a popular song composed by Isham Jones, lyrics by Gus Kahn, published on May 9th, 1924. So it's an oldie but goodie. It's been covered by many people, including Frank Sinatra and Michael Bublé with Barbara Streisand. Well, I'd like to cover "It Had to Be You" in today's content. So this is a scripture dissection, so we're going to tear into "It Had to Be You." First, I suggest take a look at our initial content that launched Scripture Dissection Materials, Tear Into It. That article gives an understanding of how and why we introduce scripture dissection exercises periodically in our article rotation. Okay, now let's look up 2 Kings 4, verses 8 through 37 in your Bible for a full story. But for today's purposes, I'm just going to give you a bullet backstory of developments in my own words. So here we go. First of all, here is the backstory in bullet form from 2 Kings 4, 8 through 37. An unnamed person, the Shunammite woman, is featured. She is an incredible person with a quality soul, depth, integrity, and godly character. The Shunammite woman always welcomes Elisha, God's prophet, into her and her husband's home for rest and refreshment in his work. In fact, she builds a special room on top of their house for Elisha when he ever travels to their area. When Elisha realizes this incredible kindness, he asks if she has any request so he can thank her. This woman is content. Incidentally, though she desired a child strongly, she's learned gratitude and contentment. Listen to her reply to Elisha's question. In verse 13c, she says, "I have a home among my own people." And that's all she said. Elisha then asks his servant, Gehazi, if he's aware of anything they can do to thank her. He learns that she has no children, as Gehazi says, she has no son, and her husband is old. Elisha tells her she will have a son in about a year. Well, the woman is shocked, but also alarmed, and here's why. This tiny verse peeks into what she's already struggled through to gain contentment. She basically says to Elisha, and this is my loose translation, "Don't mess with me, sir. Don't tell me things that will get my hopes up. Don't mislead me, please." And the text in scripture is verse 16b. But this dear woman has a son a year later. What an unexpected blessing. Having already accepted previous circumstances with resolve, faith, and joy. But there's more. This precious child grows up and then tragically dies. The Shunammite woman lays the boy on Elisha's bed in the room reserved for him on the top of their house. Then she requests a donkey and servant from her husband. And she herself takes the risky journey to Elisha for help. In her mind, it had to be him. Elisha sees her coming from a distance, and he sends his servant, Gehazi, to ask quick questions. Is she okay? Is her husband okay? Is her son okay? Well, she tells Gehazi everything is okay because in her mind, she's not settling for the servant. She's basically saying, it had to be you, Elisha. Subsequently, she won't settle for anyone else's help. When she arrives, she falls at Elisha's feet and pours out her heart. The son you set as a gift is dead. My hopes were fulfilled. Now look. Well, Elisha sends Gehazi with steps on how to raise the boy from the dead. But it doesn't work. The woman didn't even go with Gehazi when Elisha sent him. She insists on staying with Elisha, still insinuating, "It had to be you, Elisha." With the first failed attempt, Elisha makes the trip himself. Apparently, God agrees with the Shunammite woman. It had to be Elisha. Elisha goes up to his room alone, prays, and lays on the boy to share life. The boy's body warms up, but there's no breath of life yet. Then it gets interesting. Quite literally, the prophet does a mini pace back and forth in his room. You know what I'm talking about. You've done that. Scripture says he turned away and walked back and forth in the room. He was likely also praying. Then he went back to the boy's body and lay on it again as if he was insisting to share life. This time, it's with the same resolve the woman has. It had to be you, Elisha. But Elisha is making a different point, and he is saying, "It had to be you, O God." This time, the boy comes back to life in a dramatic, even humorous way. He sneezes, not once, but 7 times. Remember, 7 is God's number, symbolizing perfection, holiness, and power. So God shows up in power, honoring the faith of the woman, which is then matched by Elisha's faith in God. And God shows up in gentle humor. Consequently, something very telling happens next. This desperate, grieving woman first shows respect, gratitude, and reverence for God and Elisha by bowing to the prophet. Then she grabs her beloved son. All right, let's tear into it. That was the backstory. It had to be you. There are always 4 categories that we explore in Scripture Dissection. 1, what does it say? 2, what does it mean? 3, make it personal. And 4, make a commitment. So we'll start with 1, what does it say? Besides the backstory we just went through in bullet form, the Scripture says, God values every life. Faith matters. Resolve matters. Discipline matters. Respecting God matters. Putting God first in all problems, issues, goals, and priorities matters. Additionally, this passage is saying every person makes choices that help determine the kind of person they become. Interestingly, the story also nods at the incredible power of God, and it bears testimony to God's humor and his deep care for details of lives. So, that's basically what it's saying. Now, what does it mean? 2, you and I are not unnamed entities to God. Though your name may be anonymous in the world, your life is well known and important to God. He is reaching to you in all your life circumstances. Reaching for God, like this Shunammite woman pursued Elisha, portrays a strong desire for God. It means you trust him enough to take all your scenarios to him. Additionally, it means sharing your heart with him in depth, in integrity, and in godly character. If you're not fully there yet, no worries. Choosing God is a process that happens each moment. Subsequently, it's by faith you exercise this kind of depth of soul. as you grab hold of integrity with resolve to go back to God continually, you practice godly character. Additionally, to go after God with a heart that chooses to be content with Him only, even if you don't get your wishes or dreams for this life, you're basically saying, from my heart, for all details of my life, it had to be you, God. So that's basically what that passage, the lesson is, what it means. The third thing is make it personal. Are you aware someone else, namely God, is saying to you, it had to be you? Yes, He loves you deeply and places eternal value over your life. So it's a reciprocated relationship. It's a once-in-a-lifetime treasure, a pearl of great price. Matthew 13:44-45. God Himself values your life so highly, He won't settle for anyone else when it comes to your salvation, your daily walk by faith, your intimacy with Him, and your purpose on this earth. God designed you to do specific things in your lifetime, even if you might consider them to be small things. You have been born to do good works that were established from before creation. Ephesians 2:10 says that you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. You might wonder what those good works could possibly be. It could be a big thing only you can do, but I suspect those good works are regular, simple, critical works each day that honor God in your life. Those works point to Him. Plus, they prepare a platform for Him to reach into others' lives with His love and power. Sometimes you simply need to go after God and not let go. Simultaneously, do let go of everything else in life. Essentially, you say to Him, it had to be you, and you mean it. Of course, this doesn't mean you don't include other people, activities, organizations, or purposes in your life. It means that Jesus is your first, most, best, and only deep life passion. Okay, moving on from make it personal, we're going to go to number 4, which is make a commitment. And this is where we do the application thoughts and questions over today's content. Number 1, do you feel like an unnamed person in the world? 2, do you embrace the value God has declared over your life and purpose? 3, additionally, are you connecting in love and friendship with God each day? This means spending time alone with Him in prayer, in His Word, perhaps journaling what He is teaching you. Number 4, do you choose to accept God says to you, it had to be you? And are you saying back to God, and this is number 5, are you saying back to God from your heart, it had to be you? 6, what specific things can you put into practice today and going forward to nurture depth, integrity, and godly character? 7, are you practicing contentment even in areas of disappointment and loss, like the Shunammite woman? Number 8, do you first show respect, gratitude, and reverence for God, and then grab the answer God gives you, like the Shunammite woman? And now, I want to invite you to participate in a free course we are offering during the month of November. It's called Prepare for Christmas Without Missing It. You can jump in all month for tips, ideas, all to navigate the busy Christmas days. You'll find step-by-step strategies and practical ideas. The content shows how to enjoy a peaceful yet meaningful Christmas. You may be the Christmas point person at your house. Be ready to create an atmosphere of excitement, richness, even Christmas magic, and fun memories. But you can set aside stress and frustration and connect with Emmanuel, God with us, in a deeper way. See how to create time and energy to connect with people and special traditions also. If you experience sadness, depression, or grieving, there is even a session designed to help you find fresh hope and a bit more joy. So sign up for this free resource today and prepare for Christmas without missing it. The course opens for you to register on Wednesday, November the 1st. Go to this page on our website, www.aliveandactivelife.org/courses. And on Wednesday, November the 1st, everything will open up for you to participate. I also want to remind you that since the holidays are coming quickly, Celebrate Advent, A Life Response to Emmanuel, is a wonderful devotional tool to use December 1st through 31st to prepare for Christmas. It's short, simple, and meaningful. And content principles are keepers every day of the year. If you order now, you'll be ready to use on December the 1st. It comes in paperback and as an ebook, and it is featured in our online course. And then another great holiday tool is Prepare for Christmas Without Missing It. This tool has helped people break out of holiday busyness and into hope and meaningful celebration. It's an ebook, and it is featured in our online course. Both books make beautiful gifts. Check them out in our online store. I also invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list and receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app, or you can use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.